Now, in this study tonight, what we're doing is we're introducing the power of God. We've been looking at a lot of God's attributes. We've been looking at the nature of God. How does God, how is God viewed? And we've looked at a lot of different things. We started this study knowing the God you may think you know that you don't know. Speaking about a lot of the attributes of God and all about Him. In worldly terms, we would often be reminded that absolute power corrupts absolutely. But when you think about that, that's when humans acquire power. Humans abuse power, but when you speak of absolute power, we're speaking of God's power that would be consistent with His righteous character. God's power is limitless. Now notice on your outline what the Bible teaches us about the power of God. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 6. John said, "And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude as the sound of many waters and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns." That word omnipotent right there. O-M-N-I, omni or omni means all, and potent means powerful. So we are speaking tonight of the omnipotent God. It's a theological term that speaks about the awesome power of God. That literally means that He's all powerful. Did you realize there are 88 times in the Bible that we are told that God is almighty? That means He is all powerful. The familiar term El Shaddai in Old Testament terms, He is the almighty, all-powerful God. In Daniel chapter 4, verse 35, puts it this way: "All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain His hand or say to Him, 'What have you done?'" You know, I look around at our world today as I see people in the political arena, and we see all of the things that are happening worldwide and back and forth, and stock markets rising and falling, and coronaviruses out there, and fear that plagues the world. Let me tell you, tonight, know this: there is an all-powerful God, and He sits at the helm of the ship in the heavens, and He sits at the controls, and there is absolutely nothing that escapes Him. If He knows your birth date, He knows your expiration date. We sing He's got the whole world in His hands. David said in the Bible, "My times are in His hand." Vance Havner, the old North Carolinian preacher, said, "It sounds to me like He's got everything well in hand." So you and I can rest confident of that fact. On your outline, what the Bible teaches about the power of God: A, God can do all things. Notice Job 42, verse 2. Job said, "I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you." Let me tell you, if God's purposed it, if God's willed it, no one is going to restrain it. And then notice the things that are impossible with men are possible through God. Notice Jesus once said, it's one thing for a rich man being saved, but Jesus said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven. Why would Jesus say that? Because a lot of rich people depend on the riches. They count on the riches. They're not counting on the omnipotent, almighty God. And so in Mark 10:27, "But Jesus looked at them and said, 'With men it is' what? Impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. And then notice secondly on your outline, Roman numeral number 1b, nothing is too hard for God. In the book of Genesis in chapter 18, there's a story there about Abraham and Sarah. And you'll remember they wanted to have a child, but she had remained childless. And then when they were past the age of childbearing, God appears to Abraham, telling him that he's going to have a son. And what'd Sarah do? She laughed, didn't she? Well, if somebody said to some of you that are past childbearing, that you would you laugh? And so you would probably have a heart attack and die. Well, I can see that. I can see that. Notice here it says, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, notice the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. So God can do all things. B, nothing is too hard for God. C, God never gets tired. Any of you ever get tired? Do you ever grow weary? Any of you ever sit down in your recliner or in your chair at night and you're surfing through the TV and it's maybe 7 o'clock in the evening or 8 o'clock in the evening. Next thing you know, you wake up and it's 11:30 and you go, is this the next day? Any of you ever done that? You know what I'm talking about. You just, time slips away. Well, I want you to know God never gets tired. In fact, Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 40 verse 28, the everlasting God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is what? Unsearchable. Aren't you thankful that God doesn't get tired? Aren't you thankful that he doesn't slumber nor sleep? Aren't you thankful that when you're awakened in the middle of the night or you have your insomniac nights where you cannot sleep, aren't you grateful that he's awake? Aren't you grateful that you don't have to hope or wonder, is God awake? So God never gets tired. And then notice D on Roman numeral number 1, God cannot violate his character. Now, there are 3 things that we can learn about God's character here. Number 1, God cannot lie. God cannot lie. Titus 1:2 tells us about that. If God lied, it would violate his character and hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. God is trustworthy. Notice secondly about God's character that cannot be violated. Not only can he not lie, but God cannot deny himself. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. That means he cannot be, nor will he be, anything that would be contrary to his own consistent perfection. And then notice something else about his character. God cannot lie. God cannot deny himself. Thirdly, God cannot be tempted or tempt anyone. And of course, James chapter 1 verse 13 tells us that. Let no one say when he's tempted, I'm tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Who's the tempter? Satan. Who is the tester? Who is the tester? Who tests us? God. God tests us many times, doesn't he? To see about our faith. But God never, ever tempts. It was Satan that came to God 3 times to tempt him. So we see what the Bible says about the power of God. Secondly, on your outline, notice Roman numeral number 2. Roman numeral number 2. How can we know God is powerful? Well, there are 3 dominant categories by which we can know that God is powerful. Notice, if you will, number one, we see here that the power of God is resident in his creation. Now, I want to share something from you from one of David Jeremiah's books. He says, is the sun shining outside your window today? He said, I hope so, because I want you to consider the incredible power of solar energy. The sun is a blinding star. Get this. The sun, 330,000 times as large as the earth. 330,000 times as massive as this earth you and I are on. About a million earths could fit inside the sun. A million earths could fit inside the sun. It takes 8 minutes for a beam of light and heat to travel from the sun to the earth. Almost 93 million miles. And it arrives here right on schedule in exact proportions needed to sustain life on this planet. The temperature at the surface of the sun is about 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit. And scientists believe that the temperature at the core of the sun may reach 27 million degrees. It never shuts down, though it may occasionally flare up. The sun is essentially a gaseous ball of continuously occurring nuclear explosions, radiating its energy uniformly in all directions throughout the solar system. Every second, the sun produces the same energy as about 1 trillion 1 megaton bombs. To put it in tangible terms so that you and I could understand it, in 1 second, our sun can produce enough energy to power human civilization for almost 500,000 years. 500,000 years. Yet the sun is only one medium-sized star. One medium-sized star in a universe that is filled with trillions of stars. Astronomers estimate that there are between 100 and 400 billion stars just in our galaxy. And based on images from the Hubble Space Telescope, there may be an additional 1 trillion galaxies in the universe. 1 trillion. You think God's not all powerful? You think God's worried about the coronavirus? You think God's worried about politics? Let me tell you, he is an awesome, awesome God. He's resident in his creation. Romans 1:20. Look at Romans 1:20. Paul said to the Roman church, for since the creation of the world, he is, speaking of God's invisible attributes, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. In other words, God has put eternity in the hearts of mankind. God's put enough out there in creation to bring revelation to the heart of mankind. With powerful telescopes and space probes, we learn more and more about the universe that you and I live in. We understand its complexity. Scientists are ever learning, ever learning, ever learning. And scientists will be ever learning, and they will never plumb the depths. If you can only imagine, if the sun, which is a star, could fill how many earths? Yeah. Can you imagine? can you imagine? That's only one speck up there in the heavens. It's an awesome God. It's a complex world. And then we see creation passages in Genesis. In Genesis 1, where God said, and it was so. God didn't fashion the earth with his hands. He just simply spoke it into existence. Ex nihilo, which means out of nothing. Out of nothing. Psalm 33, 6 and verse 9. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the hosts, that's the stars, of them by the breath of his mouth. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. When Job was arguing with God, God asked him in Job 38, verse 4, where were you? Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. I can only imagine how Job must have felt this tall. Notice Job 40, verse 4. Job finally realizes, behold, I'm vile. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand over my mouth. Boy, it would behoove a lot of people today to do that, wouldn't it? Notice in Roman numeral number 2, notice we see not only the power of God is resident in creation, but we see the power of God is resident in preservation. Aren't you thankful God didn't just set the world in motion and then just step back and say, there it is, y'all do it? Aren't you grateful? The same power of God that created the world keeps the world together. If we were just closer to the sun, we'd all melt. If we were further away than what we are, we'd all freeze to death. Isn't it amazing how it's all in sync and God has put it that way? Hebrews 1:3 tells us, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Let me tell you, Jeremiah 10:13. When he utters his voice, there's a multitude of waters in the heavens. And he causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain. He brings the wind out of his treasuries. Sometime, we won't do it tonight, but sometime, go home and read the 104th Psalm. Read verses 5 through 30 in Psalm 104 about God's creation. Let's look at two of those verses tonight. In the 104th Psalm, verse 5 says, you who laid the foundations of the earth so that it should not be moved forever. And then notice the next verse there, verse 30. You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. Let me tell you, he is the consistent God. Look at Colossians 1:17. And in him all things consist. And then notice the power of God is resident in resurrection. The most powerful demonstration of God's power is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Notice in Ephesians 1:20, Paul is saying that the same power that was at work to choose and to save us is the same power which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Aren't you grateful tonight that God's in control? Aren't you grateful tonight you can call on him anytime? Aren't you grateful tonight that he is the great high priest? That means you and I can go to him anytime we want to. We don't have to go down to a priest, to a confessional booth. We can call on Jesus any time. And then I want you to notice the conclusion for tonight. There are two ways the power of God should impact our lives. Number one, this truth should excite us in our worship of God. It should excite us. Let me tell you, are you excited about the power of God? Exodus chapter 15, verse 11. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness? Y'all ever seen that word before? Holy. We've talked about His holiness. I love that. Fearful in praises, doing wonders. Fearful means you and I stand in awe. When I think about the sun, when I think about how huge it is compared to the earth, I mean, I stand in awe of the Creator of heaven and earth that keeps this thing all going. And then secondly, this truth, His power, should encourage us to walk with God. We've been raised from the dead spiritually by God's power. We will be raised from the dead literally one day when Christ returns to receive us unto Himself. And most of us don't touch the power of God until we are overwhelmed by our own weakness. Do you realize how weak we truly are? No wonder the psalmist said, He remembers my frame. He knows I'm dust. Let me tell you, and yet He knows you by name. Isn't that awesome? He knows the stars by name. I mean, there are 200 to 400 billion stars out there. Do you understand why He said, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are beyond your thoughts? Until most of us don't touch the power of God until we're overwhelmed with our own weakness. And then we discover that when we're weak, He is what? Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 through 10 tells us. It's then we discover we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, as Philippians 4, 13 says. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. So whatever your situation is tonight, whatever your trial is, whatever you're experiencing, whatever you're going through tonight, let me tell you, there's a great big God, and He's in the heavens. Nothing escapes Him tonight. He's in control. He created you. He formed you. He gave you, breathed into your nostrils, and you became a living, breathing soul. He has for your life. He has meaning for you. As long as there's life and breath, God has a purpose for your life. God has meaning for your life. Let me tell you, I meet so many people that are dealing with depression. And folks, let me tell you, one of the best things I know is the Word of God. The Word of God and praying to God. And then the third thing I would add would be, if you are mobile, then get up and move out and go see somebody, go help somebody, go do something for somebody. Let me tell you what, it will transform and revolutionize your depression, unless it's a medical depression. And I think that one of the biggest things that we see in people's lives is we fail to remember how big God is, how truly big, how truly awesome that He is. Folks, let me tell you, when you retire, if you're going to retire from your laborious job, you never retire from the Lord's army. Remember when we used to sing, I'm in the Lord's army? Boy, that was a while back. Folks, I want you to know, if you feel depressed, if you feel downcast, let me tell you, go do something for somebody. Let me tell you, the times that you feel the loneliest, the times that you feel the most disappointed, the best thing you can ever do is to do something for someone. Let me tell you, that'll lift your spirits. It'll bring honor and glory and praise to Almighty God, who is the all-powerful. who sits in the universe. If he raises up kings and he sets them down. If my times are in his hands and my days are appointed to me. There's a time to be born. There's a time to die. Let me tell you, then what am I supposed to do? Live for Jesus. Get in that dash between your birth date and your expiration date. I don't even like to use the term expiration, because if you're a Christian, you never die. You physically may lose your spirit, but it goes to be with God who gave it. And it's more alive than you could ever begin to imagine. Lily sang that for us tonight. I can only imagine. So what should you and I be? We should be joyful. Amen. We should be moving onward and upward and telling the story. Be faithful and true. Let others see this wonderful, awesome, omnipotent Jesus in you. Amen. Would you stand as we pray together? We're not going to have an invitation tonight, but I just want you to know I'm grateful that you have come. God bless you for being here. Please be safe on your way home. Look forward to coming back Sunday morning. Sunday morning, as we are still looking at some various things. I'm so thankful for our media team, for our internet system. I received an email on my phone from somebody. I don't know who it is. I have no idea what continent they live on. But they had been on our website. And, you know, the comment was made, even though we're continents apart, I love that you preach the Bible and teach the Bible and tell the truth of God's word. And this person said, I'm following your services. Folks, let me tell you, you and I don't have long in this world to tell people about Jesus. So we better get busy, amen? God bless you. Would you bow as we pray? Father,